Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
It is 11 o'clock straight up on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. We will continue talking about Josh McDaniels to the Raiders, who's going to be the OC, the games that set the Super Bowl, Cincinnati and the Rams. We got those AFC and NFC championship games to talk about, but joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, hopefully he's going to be our hero and give us the info that we need. Longtime Tampa Bay beat writer Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times with Gresh and Keefe on the Harbor One Hotline. So how interesting, where would you put this in your work life now, Rick, in terms of Tom Brady comes there, adds some juice, now he's going to leave, maybe he isn't going to leave. Are you betwixt and between on this, or do you kind of know that Brady is really walking away?
Well, it certainly feels like he's walking away, and you know, we watched, you know, sort of his career funeral over the weekend. So, you know, unless he's got a comeback that we have, the likes of which we have not seen yet, I think he's going to retire. You know, his podcast with Jim Gray has a special time at 7 p.m. tonight. I don't know what that's all about. If he's on there, certainly he will address this. Look, the Bucs are still, I don't think they're holding to the belief that he's not going to retire, but they have yet to really hear the official word from him. He called them after those reports aired Saturday and said, I'm undecided. I'm not ready to announce anything yet. They certainly know that there's a, you know, at best it was 50-50 going into this process, probably very less of a percentage of that now. But as far as I know, he hasn't informed them, and they believe that, you know, the media was trying to be first. They may be right, but trying to be first, and, you know, it was sort of a false positive at that time. But I think we're all going to find out here very shortly, maybe as soon as today.
Now, Rick, Brady had always talked about, at least for a long time, wanting to play till he was 45. He also talked about he would walk away when he sucks, and obviously neither are true. Was there a time, though, this year where all of a sudden it started to be discussed a little bit more that this could be it for him? Because I know from afar it seemed like leading into that divisional round game, there was a few more stories then. But was there anything during the regular season that crept up about, you know what, this could be it for Tom, whether they win the whole thing or not?
I mean, I think he was asked about, you know, his future pretty much all year. And some of the things he said on Jim Gray's podcast a week ago, he had said it in various times when we talked to him on Thursdays during the season about, you know, the sacrifice that his family makes, you know, just, you know, and that he didn't want to suck. I mean, and he certainly doesn't. I mean, I think the thing about, you know, when is the right time? I mean, it could have been last year when he won the Super Bowl. He didn't do it. When I talked to him in September, it's really odd. I mean, I had a chance to talk to him and sit down, and he said, and the last thing he said to me when he got up, he goes, I hope to be here many years. And you go from there to now, and it certainly looks like somewhere along there, you know, he had decided that this would probably be it. Now, whether that's, you know, discussions with his wife, his family, you know, understanding where the team is at with all the free agents that they have, getting knocked down 17 times in the final game. I mean, you know, I always thought he would take some time after the season to really decide, but you know, those discussions are probably had all year. And you know, when he left New England, he said he knew starting that season that would be the last year with the Patriots. And a lot of people were stunned that he left after 20 years there. So really hard to pinpoint, you know, a time or a mood swing or anything. But he's talked about his longevity and his, you know, how this would sort of play out. And, you know, he walks out on top. I mean, the guy led the NFL in passing, touchdowns, all of that, and, you know, brought him back from a 28-3 deficit or whatever it was, 27-3 deficit, did all he could, and the defense gave it up and they lost. So I don't know, you know, I got to believe the reports. I got to believe that he's probably going to retire, and it's just he's not ready to do it his way yet.
Rick Shroud of the Tampa Bay Times with Gresh and Keefe on the Harbor One Hotline here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. I don't know if this is a major factor, and you can add that to this question, Rick, but what would the Buccaneers look like next year, even if Brady came back?
Well, I mean, I think, look, it looks like both their coordinators are probably not going to get hired for head coaching jobs. I know New Orleans is still wanting an interview, you know, their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. He's interviewed twice in Jacksonville, doesn't seem to be able to get their stuff together. Todd Bowles interviewed with the Raiders. They hired Josh McDaniels. Maybe he's in it in Minnesota. I don't think so. So if you get all your coordinators back, certainly if Brady came back, you know, with the free agents you have, they would be more prone to sign back here than not. And they're okay in the salary cap. They're about 18th in the league. You can always create more room. So they would still have a very competitive team. I mean, they need to make some additions, get deeper at wide receiver, obviously. Chris Godwin may not be ready to play when September rolls around, coming off the ACL. So there's some concerns with two offensive linemen. Maybe they only get one of those guys back that are free agents. So, you know, it would be a different team. It always is. But in this NFC South, when, you know, Sean Payton has retired, Carolina's not very good, doesn't have a quarterback, Atlanta is Atlanta right now, you could certainly win the division. And if you got Tom Brady at quarterback, you can win any division. So, I think they would have been okay. Obviously, if he doesn't come back, they may affect what guys decide to do, including Rob Gronkowski, who I think would retire. So it would look a lot different.
Does Tom Brady get any blame down in Tampa for bringing in Antonio Brown and the whole circus that came with Brown and then everything that happened in the aftermath and everything that Brown has said about the team and threatening lawsuits and everything else? Does Brady get caught up in that, or does he sort of avoid some of that?
Well, look, I think everybody appreciates what Tom did, and that included getting Antonio Brown. I mean, you know, I don't think Bruce Arians wanted him. And, you know, it happened at a time when they had a couple of injuries at receiver in Chicago. They got beat 20-19, maybe one of their worst losses in 2020. And, you know, Tom knew that he had trust in this guy, and he's still a dynamic player. I mean, he still makes a difference when he's on the field. So they brought him in, and everything worked out for 8 weeks. He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and they won. So the mistake was bringing him back again. But there's virtually nothing that the Bucs have said no to if Tom Brady wants it. And Tom Brady wanted Antonio Brown back. And, you know, he had the whole fake vax card thing that I wrote about. He got suspended. And when he came back, he just wasn't the same guy. You know, he was talking about his, you know, his bonus money, wanted that guaranteed, you know, played a game. The ankle was kind of bothering him, but he played a great game against Carolina. And, you know, it just, the coaches and everybody said he wasn't, you know, Antonio just wasn't the same guy for whatever reason. So, you know, in the end, he said some things about Brady that probably stung him as well. And it didn't work out. But how much of that falls on the Brady? Well, if you're going to fall on him, you got to credit him for the Super Bowl and what Brown was able to bring to them in the playoffs and in that final game too.
Do you think Bruce Arians will, or do you think Bruce Arians' reaction would be for Tom Brady walking away only because they win the Super Bowl? So really that's the best thing going. Then he signs the extension. So he's under contract for next year and he's playing really well. For him to walk away now, would Arians just say, "Hey, thanks for being here for 2 years," or would be a little upset that despite being 44 years old, one of the best quarterbacks in the league is just walking away?
I think he'd be disappointed. He told me he'd be surprised that he walked away. This is before all this came out. He told me that he saw the joy even on the final Friday. You know, they have the quarterback challenge out there where they're trying to hit goalposts and moving golf carts and stuff like that. And that Brady had such a youthful enthusiasm about him, just watching him on that final Friday practice, that he just couldn't envision him not wanting to play, and that he was, you know, obviously so good, you know, from a skill standpoint, his arm strength and all of that, that he said he would be surprised if Tom didn't play. So disappointed, I would say, would be the biggest emotion. Grateful for sure, because, you know, I mean, Bruce Arians may go to the Hall of Fame now because he won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Who knows? But he certainly, you know, put a lot of excitement back into the Buccaneers with Bruce here these last 2 years. It's been magical. It was fast. It was like a meteor streaking across the sky. But it was the highlight of Bruce's career and everybody's career here. So grateful would probably be the first thing he would think, but disappointed, because I think he feels like that they have a good football team. And if you've got Tom Brady, as he always says, you have a chance, and that's going to be a totally different, you know, they're back into that mode, like everybody else in the NFL searching for a quarterback. I mean, they got Kyle Trask under contract and that's it. You re-sign Blaine Gabbert. I mean, you know, how many games are you going to win? And that's where this franchise had been for a long time, 5 years with Jameis Winston, 12 years without the playoffs until Tom showed up. And then you're not relevant again. You know, you don't have all the ESPN cameras and WEEI calling me and all that stuff. So it's, you know, like we go back to you know, where they were before, which is not a great place in the NFL.
Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times with Gresh and Keefe. Rick, I read something online about the structure of the contract, and is Tom Brady due the rest of his signing bonus here February 3rd or February 4th? Is that true, number one? And number two, if it is that a factor in the timing of this announcement?
No, it's totally irrelevant. I saw those reports. I commented on some of them. I think people are reaching, trying to figure out why Brady hasn't, you know, announced it himself yet. And the fact of the matter is that when he restructured his deal, you know, that was money that, you know, that was part of a signing bonus that was committed to him. But if he chooses not to play, he's going to have to give back as much or more to the Buccaneers. You know, so it's really a wash at best. And there's nothing significant about February 4th. I mean, I talked to the Bucs. They're like we could pay him any time or not pay him any time, right? And if there's a little give back, maybe they just say, the heck with it, keep your money, we're good, just based on all the money he's made them. So it's not significant. I know people looked at that and they said, well, he's got this big bonus, why wouldn't he wait till February 4th? But really, if he chooses not to play, the way they structured the deal, the Bucs would have money coming back to them. So, it was just people, I think, trying to justify why Brady hasn't come out and announced it himself. And I just think he's not ready to. And, you know, this might speed up his timetable a bit for sure, but you know, we're all waiting for the Gotham Chopra production, right, with the family and the whole, you know, the whole business. And you know, that's sort of, you know, the end of the man in the arena walking out of the arena. So that's sort of why I think Tom had his own idea about how he was going to write his own ending here.
Rick, thanks for the time as always, we appreciate it. Have fun the next couple days. I'm sure it won't be boring.
No, it's going to be busy. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times with us on the Harbor One Hotline. And interesting stuff there. So the money really isn't a big factor whatsoever.
No,
it's just,
no.
This is
he wants to control it.
Yeah.
100% he wants to control it. And because he's not a guy that just simply has, you know, a Twitter or an Instagram, right? Like, he has multiple documentaries. He's got an ongoing documentary. He's got all these different people involved. And he has all these different businesses.
He has an empire.
He kind of does. So does he want on a random Saturday, like midday, people, or I guess it was Saturday afternoon by the time we got the news from Schefter and Darlington, but is that what he's looking for? Or does he want to make it, again, not the extreme of like the LeBron James decision, but I think he wants to make it a little bit of a bigger deal if he's going to do this.
I'm with you on that. Brady is also very aware of the business of being Tom Brady. Yep. And that is something that we didn't deal with here for such a long time with this guy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to you on the phones at 617-779-7937. McDaniels to the Raiders. Is Brady going to retire? Of course, we got the conference championship games from yesterday. Quickly, let's slide in Phil in Maine to get us back to you. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, you know, as far as Brady goes, I think there's something going on between him and his dad. I think he wants to be retired and he's ready to move on to, you know, to give that, that, you know, commitment to his family and everything. But Tommy Sr. seems to be different. I mean, We remember earlier this season there was an issue, and he came out in the media and basically Tommy Sr. did and put his two cents in, and to the point where his son, Tommy Jr., turned around and said, well, my dad needs to learn not to talk through the media, and that's, you know, that's where it stands. It's my call, you know, my whatever my thoughts are, my thoughts. So my thinking is that maybe he doesn't want him to retire, and he's trying to sell him into the idea of, hey, you know, this isn't quite your time. You still got another year. You can handle it. And I think that maybe he's torn, and that's maybe why we haven't seen quite the decision formally yet.
I don't know, Phil. I mean, it feels like there was the subterfuge of, hey, let dad go out there. I mean, if Tom Brady Sr. came out and announced that Rihanna is not pregnant, we'd be like, what? Right? Yeah. So, like, you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I kind of do. And it's not a shock that he would come out and say something. But
of
it's just
course
more,
not.
It's just more of the... Brady's pissed he didn't get to announce it, but is he pissed enough to try to go and play? Keep playing?
Doesn't it feel like dad's self-worth is also tied in a little bit to his namesake out there doing his whatnot?
But like, if you're believing like what Rick's saying, like he's just not ready to announce it, then part of me says, well, maybe you're not ready to like admit that you're done.
And
like,
there
maybe
could
there's still
be
a,
that.
Still a slim chance that, that he comes back.
I mean, again, that, boy, the looming specter of pushing Giselle off for like 5 years. How would he do it again without her being like, I'll leave.
You skip OTAs, you skip training camp. Like, there's a way to do
he
it.
He goes Walter Jones doesn't show up until day one.
There he goes Roger Clemens, plays half a season.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, the half season pull. Yeah, now, there you go. Yeah. It's like everybody thought that Edelman might come back to play with Brady. And it's like, I didn't think of that. That would be... Boy, that'd be something. Because then it would be, well, did Tom Brady retire file his retirement papers? Then it'd be like all beacons from New York whenever he would send that in. You're loading up these lines to talk to us at 617-779-7937. Brady, McDaniels to the Raiders, yesterday's championship games, the Super Bowl et al. In fact, to give you more on that, here's Shime. He is ready to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
The Patriot Way is coming to Las Vegas, and the Las Vegas Raiders get the package deal they have wanted for weeks. Sources say that soon-to-be former Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels is expected to be the new Raiders head coach. His deal is now being finalized, should be official soon. He is not going alone. Dave Ziegler, the de facto GM of the New England Patriots, is expected to be the GM of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ian Rappaport on the very latest with what's going on with Josh McDaniels, who I guess it's really any time now that we're going to get an introductory press conference. We had one today with the Giants for former Patriots offensive assistant and Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. And I love these now. The Giants and the Bears, they've been doing the, you know, the online Twitter videos, and they showed the new coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's a working man.
He drove a truck. He's a truck guy.
Big Ford F-150 with the big snow tires and all that.
It was a blue truck, too.
It was.
Team color truck.
That's right.
Like, get out of here. He had that truck all along.
I'm with you.
Stop
he didn't it. Have that.
Staged.
That's the freebie.
Whole thing staged.
Right. I'm with you on that. You know.
And then he drives in. He's like, wait a minute. Daniel Jones is my quarterback? Drives right out. He's like, this stinks.
He drove out in the Subaru. What the?
Yeah.
Wilkins, Hyundai, and Subaru. We have Hyundais and Subarus. There we go. 617. But seriously, they and by the way, the suit, not very fitting. But then again,
no,
Daboll, man of Gooter, tough to get it done. You got to really have a good tailor to be able to like.
Wilkins, Hyundai, and Subaru.
Thank you. That's what you
have
in the car.
We have Hyundais and Subarus.
There you go. There's the new. That might be for the Bills now, whomever their offensive coordinator is going to be, because
they're looking for somebody.
Just quickly, apparently Ken Dorsey is a candidate to go be the OC with the Giants now.
Makes sense. See, that's what happens when you look at all these guys. So far, it's been four coordinators that have gotten the head coaching job. So it's like, all right, do they pull away? Do they grab more guys from that staff and deplete what would be what the Colts, Packers, Patriots, and Bills all have had guys leave to be head coaches right now?
Does Mayo get plucked?
I would. That'd be my first call.
Or does he have somebody else in mind? That's what I wonder.
He could.
Like if Flores doesn't get a job, does McDaniels call Flores?
He did put together a whole staff in Indy.
Supposedly.
So,
he did have Matt Eberflus because the GM wanted him.
Unavailable now. So, yeah, I would think he calls Mayo or Flores. If Flores doesn't get one of these spots, I mean, I would think he goes with him or even comes back here.
Josh has a very an interesting circle of friends, I guess you would say, in terms of the NFL. Like, you know, again, you know, look at the Dave Ziegler worked for Josh in Denver a bunch of years ago.
Yeah.
And we've heard the name Dave Ziegler for a long time, but it was always, well, he's been with the Patriots organization for a while. Not he's a FOJ, a friend of Josh.
He could even bring in Adam Gase. We joked about him earlier, but he was on McDaniel's staff in Denver. He could bring him in as his offensive coordinator. He could bring Matt Patricia in as his defensive coordinator.
Oh, man.
The worst staff ever.
Flores, Patricia, or Mayo. Take your pick.
I'll take Flores first, then Mayo, then Patricia.
Then Patricia. Yeah. I figured as much. 617-779-7937. We're also going to get to the list or some of the rumored reported list of possibilities to replace Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator here. Well, let's go to Brent in Shrewsbury with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, fellas. So I'm kind of pulling this from what I think was a Keith take about J.C. Jackson. It's kind of a loose connection, but okay. He was saying how we want the, you know, not that we want it, but there's not really pure Darrell Revis, you know, Pete Gilmore with the rules and just the immense amount of talent on offense. You don't really find those guys. So maybe a true ball hawk with a good defense around him like J.C. Jackson is more the modern corner. So that brings me to the Bengals. I thought I saw the worst defense in the playoffs and the best defense in the playoffs in the same game. I don't know who coaches their defense. I know Gresh has been sort of critical of Zach Taylor. I'm curious if he had some nice defensive schemes or if that was the defensive coordinator. But this whole Bengals roster, I know Gresh, you can't like this either because they don't pay the largos. Like the Chiefs losing to Brady showed how the largos, you may not know their names, but when all five of them aren't in sync, everything's ruined, and it seems like the Bengals got money for a couple studs on defense, not a whole defense, but some playmakers. And then they got tons of playmakers between the running back, the receiver. So they're not paying the largos, Gresh. What do we do?
Well, Brent, let's remember, too, that this is a team that came out of nowhere. This is a group that you should look at with the Bengals, and it's more of the how the hell are they managing this versus, boy, these are a bunch of idiots who don't get it. The Bengals team, this group not only jumped one level, right? You figure if you go from bad year to winning your division and then in the playoffs, that's a jump that is reasonable that you can take. Not to go from four wins to winning the division to winning two games on the road, and especially one in Kansas City. Remember, they beat the number one and number two seed. So I can't look at Cincinnati and be like, boy, they're a bunch of idiots. They haven't paid the big guys.
No, and I'll
this
tell you
is a level
happened.
Jump for them.
No, and what also happened is we were so focused on Matt Judon and what a great signing Matt Judon was throughout the season. And we all know it fizzled at the end. But Trey Hendrickson is what we thought Judon was. He might be better because he's still playing well. Like he had a great year.
He didn't fade towards the end of the
year.
No, right?
Like he shows up now, and that's the big difference with Judon. So I thought Judon literally went from being defensive player of the year candidate to all pro candidate to
COVID
but I'm saying like
he got COVID and then it was like after COVID he wasn't the same
and then
guy.
You're like, well, he's at least the best free agent signing. Like, nope, not even. Yeah, not even that.
Hendrickson has been great. Cincinnati has hit on some of the, like, you know, Eli Apple.
Yeah, how's he good now?
He isn't.
You see him talking trash on Twitter too?
Oh, I did. Oh yeah.
Well, Tyreek Hill and McCole Hardman.
When he dropped that interception, a Giants fan texted me and goes, he's the worst corner I've ever seen in my life.
People hate Eli Apple. People hate Eli Apple, but he's talking trash. He tweeted at Tyreek Hill and McCole Hardman and asked him if they needed tickets to the Super Bowl. Like, you kind of stink, buddy. Like,
he got shredded too multiple times. Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But he's out there flying around, apparently.
I don't
know.
It's
not like an amazing
that.
Defense. I think they played well. I also think there were a few times where Mahomes missed like an open Kelsey and he's like doing pirouettes in the backfield. And you're like, Kelsey, just throw it to Kelsey. How about that one play that they needed? I think it was a third down or maybe even a fourth down. And they just played like a soft zone free release for Kelsey, and he just ran down the field and caught the pass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was early on in the game, right?
That was useless.
And then they changed it up and went to the three and sometimes four-man rush, and Mahomes just completely didn't know what to do. Again, that's also the he doesn't want to run part taking advantage of that guy. But look, in terms of not paying the largos on Cincinnati, again, I can't rail on them because no one would have predicted they would have gone this far with what they had. If they'd won the division and won a playoff game, it would have been a big boost. Now they're almost nose over their toes. Like, they're in front of their skis a little bit in terms of the actual talent around Joe Burrow.
Well, and that's why, you know, if you're just talking about the big fellas, like, them beating Tennessee is a little bit more surprising than them beating Kansas City, who they beat twice this year. And because Kansas City can't just run the ball. Like, they're like, hey, we're just going to run the ball down your throats. Like, they can't really do it. Like,
they don't want to.
They kind of have to pass it. But to Cincinnati's credit, they also held the Tennessee Titans really
16
down.
Points. And the return 19 of Derrick Henry. For the Raiders, yeah. I mean,
of course, they caused, what was it, 3 picks by Tannehill and 2 by Mahomes?
Well, the other thing, too, is for as inconsistent as the Bengals' offense has been in the red zone and scoring touchdowns, their defense has kind of been the opposite, forcing teams to kick field goals and keeping the score down. I know that we have had some fun with our friends on the Bengals Radio Network, Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham.
Yes.
So this is what the game-winning field goal sounded like. And I got to say, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
I was a little disappointed.
They're going to the Super Bowl. This is a pretty big deal.
Okay, here you go.
Kevin Huber have been Pro Bowl participants, and Evan McPherson could send him to the Super Bowl.
4 years ago, he was a senior in high school in tiny Fort Payne, Alabama. Now the Bengals' Super Bowl chances rest on his right foot. The kick is up.
Yeah.
It is good! Coffin nails!
Bam! 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 That is unbelievable. The Cincinnati Bengals come from behind on the road. Unbelievable, Dan.
It is no fluke. It is a fact. The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
Unrealism.
Not great.
Unbelievable is everything for Dave Lapham. Every game.
He did twice. Unbelievable.
That was so lackluster.
And then the play-by-play guy's like, it wasn't crazy. It was, you're like, what? That was, they're going to the Bengals, worst to first. They're going to the Super Bowl. That's a huge deal. And yeah, I'm surprised. They were like more excited about beating the Raiders.
I thought Lapham would have lost his freaking mind in that booth.
Yeah, that is really, really.
Yes! Yes!
There you go.
Yes! The impossible situation. Possible.
Yeah.
Coach McGinnis.
The Titans guys should have swapped them out. They would have had more fun with this. I don't know if I need that guy in a January NHL game, but yeah, I thought you were gonna get a little bit more. This is the big story. What were the preseason? They were plus 15,000 to win the Super Bowl.
And again, that's why you look at that roster and you wonder how in the world are they doing it? Because just, and I know that we're going to get the point spreads and we're going to give you a whole bunch of props next week. We got stuff planned around the Super Bowl, but this is all about the Rams now. Yeah. You're at home. You got the superstars. You sold out. There is, you know, if and not that Cincinnati.
It'd be worth it.
Right. And not that Cincinnati is like, hey, yeah, we're already playing with house money. This is their chance to really shake up NFL history in a major way. But this is a level jump that no one would have predicted.
No.
From 4-11-1 to this?
No, even if you thought they were going to be improved, I bet a lot of people had them still fourth, maybe third in their division.
You know what,
because
I heard?
You had the Ravens, you had Baker Mayfield, who just won a playoff game a year ago, and then people are all kind of all over the place on Pittsburgh, maybe thinking about 500 and Ben's last year. But what a complete change it was for them. And they're so young, too. They are so insanely young. Like, they had that stat earlier in the year. First group ever, all 25 or younger, to have a quarterback over 4,000 yards, two receivers over 1,000, and a running back over 1,000. You throw in their kicker, who looks like he's 15 years old, and he's kicking all these game winners for them. And the defense is good enough. The defense, again, they don't.
The defense, I think, has been,
good.
Really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
You're holding teams to 24 or less. That is, and on the road.
But I still don't really know how they're doing it. I know they got Trey Hendrickson is really good, but it's not like with the Rams. Like, all right, you have a complete game changer on the D line, and you have the best corner. So let all the other pieces fit in. And actually, they have a couple of other good pass rushers. But with Cincinnati, watching their games the last 3 weeks, they've done a great job. They've been opportunistic. They've caught picks.
That's what it's been, but is, you know, Tannehill, I almost said Lapham. Tannehill gives them a turnover, a gift at the end of the game.
But, like, regular season-wise, and again, I think we've learned after watching the Patriots and then even the Bills game against Kansas City, that maybe regular season points per game shouldn't be held up in as high regard as we once thought, because the Bills had the best defense. The Patriots had the second-best defense. They didn't force a punt in their one playoff game. But according to points per game, they had the second-best defense. Do you know where Cincinnati ranked regular season?
I think 23rd. Or
17th.
Oh, okay.
17th in points allowed. So dead middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they just, I mean, the Raiders, whatever, but they beat the Raiders. They held the Titans to 16 points. They held the Chiefs to 24.
You know, the tilted game during the regular season has now skewed a lot of numbers as well. Like, you know, remember when the Bills turned it around and got hot, like 35 nothing, 45-3 or something like that? And you like, there's more of the context that's kind of got to go into those numbers, in my opinion. All right, so how about Josh McDaniels? He's leaving to go be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, if we are to believe it. And some of the names that have come up. All right, so here are the names that have been mentioned.
Hit me.
In the media literati.
Okay.
We obviously have Bill O'Brien.
Yep. To me, he's the most qualified and the most seamless transition. Like, you might not even notice that there was a change.
Adam Gase has been brought
up. I don't want that. He has a long history of making players worse. And, again, Ryan Tannehill is the one that jumps to mind. But there were even other guys down there like Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki, who as soon as he left, they got a whole lot better. So I want nothing to do with Adam Gase.
Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase.
Well,
he stinks. I mean, I guess we'd have that soundbite to play all year long.
What would be worse, Adam Gase or the Francesa fought?
Adam Gase. Crazy Eyes Gase. Remember his press conference when he got introduced with the Jets?
He is.
What was he looking at?
Everything.
You can't get anything by him.
You can't. There's nothing.
My favorite one was the guy that put in like the taco. There was like a floating taco.
Oh, yeah,
kept
yeah.
And
he
kept looking
around. And he really needed to wear a hat for that press conference. It was a little.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's not great. Look at his Wikipedia. His Wikipedia picture is Crazy Eyes.
It is. It's insane. It really is.
You can't trust that guy to run your offense.
You're right. He looks.
I don't want this guy.
He looks a tad askew.
A bit.
There is Mick Lombardi.
So that would be one of those ones where he wouldn't get the title.
Correct.
But he would just be like Steve Belichick. So do you want two of those guys? Meaning like going into another year where you don't have a coordinator?
No.
Seems like a lot on Bill's plate. If you had Tom Brady, I honestly wouldn't care as much about it. I'd say, whatever, find a guy. They'll work it out. But with a second-year quarterback, I want the more experienced guys. I don't want him.
Patriots tight ends coach Nick Caley.
Same thing.
His name has been mentioned.
Same thing. If it's either of the position coaches, I do not find that ideal.
Dolphins co-offensive coordinator, and I would be assuming there'd be some wiggle room to figure out how to hire him because he does have the co-OC title, but I don't know how much Godsey is involved in really the play calling, but George Godsey is a name that has come up.
So, okay. So, again, I would have him, I would have everybody below Bill O'Brien, but I would probably have him higher up than those other two guys you named.
Now, here's two candidates that people may or may not have thought about. Joe Judge, while here, very sneakily, people didn't realize that he was also the special teams coordinator, but also the wide receivers coach at the same time, does have an offensive background, and apparently there were rumblings beforehand, before he went to the Giants,
yeah,
that maybe this is a guy who could call plays.
Yeah, that's sort of a weird one, because I associate him as a solid special teams coach and then a failed head coach. That's, in my mind, I think he's really embarrassing in his press conferences. Like, he's just such a hard ass, and he's like, oh, people want to play here. It's like, your team sucks, dude. Your team's been terrible. Nobody's calling you and saying they want to play for the Giants. And his offenses have been really bad. And so, again, personnel's not great, right? You have a really good running back, and that's kind of about it, and he's not even always healthy. So, again, he's got a lot of experience in the league, so there is that. He's worked with Bill in the past. But, again, I think whoever is hired in this role, it's all about Mac Jones. And do you really think that – is Joe Judge going to get the most out of Mac Jones?
I would not bet on that.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. So, again, I go right back to Bill O'Brien.
And then there's Charlie Weiss Jr., who is a hotshot
genius, right?
Yes, there is that. He is one of the pick-to-click offensive coordinators in college football right now. And, of course, we know the connection to his dad, Charlie Weiss, who was here at the very beginning of this run, and who, by the way, was on WEEI during Rob Bradford Presents the Tom Brady Retirement Show.
Pretty good weekend that, coverage here.
Went on Saturday.
All over it.
We were all over it here on WEEI. Yeah. But Charlie Sr. joined, but Charlie Jr. is a name that has at least been brought up in terms of other jobs to maybe get like a quarterback coach job to then be an OC.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the next step. Do you have any other names? Because I got one other name.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, Chad O'Shea, just because he was with the organization, he was Flores' offensive coordinator until Flores fired him. But Flores changes OCs like he changes pants. And then he was he's still with the Browns right now. So I think he's their passing game coordinator, which their passing game was not great. But again, it's the friend of Bill's tree guy.
Right.
So that's the only reason why I would toss him out. Or is there any other like college coach that he likes? Like the Brett Bielema equivalent of, is there somebody there that maybe needs like a rehab type tour? Like, you know, coach here for a couple years.
Like a Sarkisian before you end up getting the Texas job. See, I think that someone last week had brought up Dan Mullen, who was the coach at Mississippi State and in Florida. He's a New Hampshire guy. I think it's very likely or plausible. Let's put it that way. I don't know about likely because then it sounds like I have intel. If Bill O'Brien leaves Alabama, I could see Dan Mullen sliding right into the offensive coordinator role in Alabama, and they wouldn't skip a beat. So I don't think getting Bill O'Brien is really going to be a major impediment unless he doesn't want the gig. Then it's where do you go from there?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why we bring up some of these names, because it just feels like Bill O'Brien should be the guy. I think the other layer to this that we might be able to get into a little bit more is, should or does Mac Jones have a say in this? I'm the biggest Mac guy. I ain't asking him nothing.
No, he's too young.
I'm too young.
It's not Brady. Again.
Bill's going to bring in the right guy. This is what,
not now.
This is in Bill we trust, that he's going to bring in the right OC to be able to match with Mac. Not, hey, Mac, who do you want to? No, he's not at that point. I don't think he gets that luxury. But you can get in at 617-779-7937. Even though we did hear the Bengals' final radio call, well, that wasn't the only audio issue or audio spectacle that went on in these AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. You will hear that in case you missed it next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
Yeah, it's really bad. Let it breathe, John.
Don't smother it.
Smother it. This is really how we're supposed to do this segment with this audio blaring like this. We can't really hear anything.
First half analysis.
That's right. The halftime show on CBS. Let's address this. We'll kind of hit the reset at the top of the hour here, 11:48, Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. So,
by the way, a lot to talk about because the Chiefs just choked away their final possession. Yeah. So still an 11-point game. Fancy like get back into this game. And that's all you heard.
That is. So in Kansas City now, I didn't realize they don't have speakers at that dump.
How do you not have speakers?
I don't know. But apparently they can't figure out how to, I guess, make it a pleasurable acoustic experience with the existing speakers that they have at Arrowhead Stadium.
So a lot of places, So a lot of times you have a halftime show, right? Even if it's a regular season game, there's occasionally a halftime show or something.
Yeah.
But certainly in the playoffs, they ramp it up. There's a halftime show. But there's also the whoever's doing the game. So in this case, CBS, they're there, right? They got to be in the stadium. They have their little setup, and they're doing their thing. And you can do both. And you can hear it, like, slightly in the background, usually. Like, slightly. You know something's going on. But you can hear Phil Simms give you all kinds of wise info during halftime. Not the case. Fancy like Applebee's on a date night. They might as well just cut to it. Just like let this idiot sing his stupid song.
That's what they should have done.
They should have been like, all right, this is the pits. Here's a musical song that is going to get stuck in your
head.
And you hate
to,
it.
What's this guy's name? Walker, Texas Ranger?
Walker Hayes.
Walker Buehler.
Oh,
he pitches for
God,
the
he
LA
should
Dodgers.
Be.
Second best Hayes in
all
country
right,
music.
That, first of all.
The
that,
song
oh,
is
Oh, God,
awful.
That song is Burma Street Stay with the Oreo
shake and some whipped cream. Like, there's an argument to be made that it's the worst song ever written and performed.
Yeah, because they bastardized it and pimped it out for that Applebee's commercial, and everybody's got to do their TikTok to it and all that whatnot.
I hate it so
Here's
much.
Here's what it should be.
I have that audio muted on TikTok.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's smart, Sean.
The TikTok should be, if you see someone dancing to that song, you get to clothesline them.
You get to absolutely
put that on TikTok. Yep, absolutely. Now and then when I
get paid. RKO's out of nowhere every time that song comes on.
RKO out of nowhere, the Russian sickle, whatever it is.
It
you just get to smoke somebody because...
But that was just ridiculous.
And Boomer Esiason, by the way. So Boomer, at one point, turns and is like, I don't know what you said, but here's what I'm going to say. And James Brown, give him credit.
Yeah.
At one time, I knew enough sign language to be functional. Now I know one, and it's the middle finger, and that's it.
Yeah, right.
But James Brown started to, like, do his thing and was like, hey, you know, if he mentioned, like, his daughter or somebody told him to learn how to sign, and he's like, this is the perfect time, and he starts signing stuff because it's so loud.
So loud.
There's a giant bank of speakers right behind them, and there wasn't anybody within CBS who could find a way to pivot.
Terrible.
Or drop like a thing in the background so it didn't blare in and sound so bad. They had an open set.
Yeah.
It was a disaster.
But I feel like at this stage of the game, you might as well let the halftime show breathe a little bit. Like Super Bowl, we're not going to listen to the NBC crew break it down while Eminem's in the background. No, we're just going to watch Eminem and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Right? They're not going to be like down on the field with Chris Sims screaming over those guys. Like, let it happen. The further you go in the playoffs, same with like the NBA and you have like actual kind of concerts break out at halftime. Just show it. It's a lot easier than trying to compete with that.
No doubt. So here's what it sounded like on CBS Live at halftime.
As in halftime report, the official 5-speed network of the NFL for Rise. I'm James Brown.
As we welcome Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, Walker Hayes.
Nasty. He's got time filled, and he's burning them.
The question is, and the answer is time. That's what Patrick Mahomes... But he is able to move outside and find Tyreek Hill for the...
So bad. The PA guy is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, just like completely snuffing those guys out. Can't hear them at all. And they're like, do we just keep going with this? Just talk through it. Awful.
Yeah. So bad.
A bit of a mess there.
Now, over on the other network, I know that the Manning cast has spawned off a lot of these offshoot broadcasts and things like that. So the great folks at Fox, apparently, during the NFC Championship game, had their Fox tailgate. And I do believe you either went to Fox.com or one of their, you know, web platforms to be able to see this group of players.
Fox so Plus.
It is Mark Ingram, Joe Hayden, Cam Jordan, and Aqib Talib.
It's a good squad.
Now, there wasn't music blaring in the background, but here's what that whatnot sounded like.
Hey, get Sonny
in there and tote it.
Get your defense.
Sound like me talking to my Sean. Shoot.
Shout out to Sean.
Man, look, I tell all my friends, I'm like, you know, no matter where you come or go, I'll be here. But now I used to just say that for like teammates.
Yeah.
A couple of D coordinators early on.
No, for not sure.
We might not be.
Not Sean.
Hey, now I'm just looking at my dog Mark, like,
see what I'm talking about.
See what I'm talking about?
Bro.
That's how they lost the last game.
31.
You gotta talk that. See, last game he got sacked in 31. He's like,
man, go for it.
They catch him at 32.
31, they think they're going to catch Cooper Kupp beating them to the flat. Do not get beat to the flat. You see this corner down here? Stay out. Hold on, slow down. Stay outside, boy.
You saw everybody adjust in. They thought it was going to be a run, too.
That's a flag.
So that was the...
Going for it.
Yeah, hold it. Big hold
it. I'd like to point out...
You've had your time. Let someone else speak.
I haven't said a word. It was that guy.
Don't look at me. I can't get a word in edgewise.
Well, who the hell's been talking this whole time?
Well, that's a whole question.
Sounded like Big Show 99.
So, I mean, apparently you go for the football breakdown, but you stay for the Marshawn shout-outs. They were all very excited to say hi to Marshawn.
That's right.
They also called Sony Michel Sonny, which Sonny. I really... Yeah, give Sonny the ball right now.
Sonny. Get Sonny in there and tote it.
Get Sonny in there and tote it. Awesome. By the way, there was a play in that game where they tried giving credit to Sony Michel for picking up a blitz. He got pushed directly into Stafford. Stafford actually hit his hand on Sonny Michel's helmet, but he still completed the pass. But the who's doing the game? Was that the Fox game?
That was Buck and Aikman. Yeah, so might have been Aikman's last game.
Yeah, it was Aikman being like great block here by Sonny Michel. They show the replay. He gets pushed all the way back into his arm, almost hit him in the helmet with his hand. But, you know what? Give me that Fox tailgate over the CBS halftime show any day.
Well, at least you can hear the tailgate.
Fox tailgate. Are they going to have any more games?
Josh McDaniels to Vegas, the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, if you heard any of this, come on back next.
Don't need no champagne, popping entertainment. Take her to Wendy's, can't keep her off me. She want to dip it like them fries in her frosty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.